have a lot of fun. We want to thank Phil Brown and Paul Gross for coming in on this lousy weather.
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas, so we wish you and your listeners a very Merry Christmas.
The same to both of you and your families.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Take care. And with that, that was Phil Brown and Paul Gross. And with that, we're going to wrap up part one of today's edition of the Morning Magazine. As always, it's brought to you by Riverview Medical Center. With you, it's personal and Comfort Air.
I'm with Carrie Hildebrandt from Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing. Carrie, energy costs today are on a lot of people's minds. What can you convey to your customers who may have reservations about purchasing a new furnace or air conditioner?
Well, it's kind of the thought. Do you want to keep putting money into your old furnace that's maybe giving you 50% out of every dollar that you put in it? Or go to a Bryant modulating furnace that's 97% efficient, keeps you comfortable, as well as saves you a little bit of money?
What does the slogan really stand for Bryant, and what does it really mean?
Well, Bryant's whatever it takes means we'll do whatever it takes to keep our customers comfortable. Whether their furnace is going out in the middle of the night, we'll be there when they need us. We have people on call 24 hours a day, whatever it takes.
You really pride yourself in customer service.
We try as hard as we can. Can't say we never make a mistake, but we give it our best shot.
And how do people get a hold of you, Carrie, to say get the ball rolling?
We make it as easy as possible. You can get us at 325-3969 for Stevens Point area, 342-0911, or just visit us online, comfortair.biz.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Here's your forecast from the Weather Eye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, we could have a lingering wintry mix of freezing drizzle and snow with cloudy skies and northeast winds. Highs will be in the middle 20s. Tonight, we could have some lingering snow through the evening, otherwise mostly cloudy with northeast winds. Lows will fall into the mid-teens. Mostly cloudy skies on Saturday with northeast winds. Highs in the upper 20s. Accumulating snows developing Saturday night and upper teens. From Weather Eye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
And they're right now talking 4 to 9 inches across a good portion of the state of Wisconsin Saturday night into Sunday. So we'll keep you posted. We'll have the latest come the noon hour. Right now, a little light snow in the area and cloudy skies for the most part. It's 17 in Wausau, 17 in Marshfield, and 18 in Point, and we'll call it 18 degrees here at AM 1320 in Wisconsin Rapids.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine, presented by Comfort Air Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Riverview Hospital in Wisconsin Rapids. It's time for part two. Once again, here's Carl Hilke.
Thank you, Jerry, and welcome back, everybody, to today's show. It's time now for another edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry, who is in the studio and recovering from a little hand surgery, so he'll be ready for the golf season, right?
That's why we did it now.
Okay. Well, it's the perfect timing because we've had some interesting news this week. Everyone knew that tapering was coming as a gradual reduction of the Federal Reserve's bond purchases, and it's happened.
Yes, it has, and I think rightly so. We can't go on, for lots of reasons, buying all these bonds forever and ever and ever, and, you know, it's a better indication of, you know, where the economy is really at, where interest rates should really be at, and so I think it's a very positive, and obviously for anyone that was paying attention, the stock market took it that way, as it was up 290, the Dow was up 292 points that day, and I think there's a combination that if you follow the rhetoric of the Fed, and the Fed basically said in June, hey, this party's coming to an end, and so everybody tried to race out the door and sell their bonds and everything, but it was into the market that this was going to happen, and but as a part of this being initiated, the Federal Reserve had to feel comfortable about the economy and the trend towards strengthening and the unemployment rate coming down, and so the fact that they decided now was kind of an endorsement that the economy is stronger. Unemployment has come down. Inflation still hasn't raised its ugly head. And so people took it as a advice or as a signal that, hey, the market, you know, let's buy the market. And the final thing, which tied it all together, is that they did put a contingency on that short rates, you know, the money markets, maybe up to 1 or 2 year CDs, treasuries, would continue to be held at relatively a zero rate. So, you know, if you have confidence that you can make more than 0%, obviously the stock market is a place that people are feeling a little more comfortable going into.
Okay. Well, it's been an interesting year, and it's been one of those years where all the people who are doom and gloomers have kept saying, the end is near. The end is near. It's coming! The end is near! And it's still not here. So let's look back at this past year, which is what we want to do this morning.
Yeah, I think if we look back about a year ago, the major topic of conversation was our government and the Republicans fighting the Democrats and trying to get the debt ceiling and trying to avoid the sequester and all that. It was a very disturbing time, and I think that was the seed somewhat of all that dour and gloomy forecasts and thing. And so they, as they always do, never makes any permanent solutions, but they seem to always push it out enough, and they manage just around the deadlines to get things done. And that kind of was the start of the year's market. And I guess we're talking about the U.S. market now, but from that point, it's been fairly straight up all year. We've had a few minor corrections, nothing much more than 5%. And what we're seeing today is that the GDP, GNP of the third quarter was revised from up 3-something to up over 4. And so we're starting to see the verification of why the market was going up, is that the economy is showing the best numbers it has had since probably 07.
Okay, so the market is reacting to the fact, and the Fed is indicating as well with its action that things are getting better. What were some of the main factors why we didn't have a major correction? Everybody, that was the thing. You and I were talking about this constantly, because you would have somebody saying, "Oh, that's coming." What the Fed's doing isn't going to work, or what the government's doing isn't going to work. It's coming. We're going to get ready, folks. Here it comes. Never arrived.
No, it didn't. And I think there was, you know, there's probably not one single thing, but if we had to name one single thing, I mean, it was we're now almost 5 years into 0% interest rates. And I think the fear of the world, as we really did and legitimately did in 08 and early 09,
sure. Right.
Because our financial systems were so strained, so over indebted, so and the markets froze up. You know, I think each year you know, we've gotten more and more confidence, and so I'm sitting on zero. I'm sitting in the money market, or I'm sitting in short term. Fixed debt instruments, and in 09 I didn't lose any money, made, you know, 1%, 10, 11, 12, you know, all of a sudden I'm not making any money, you know, and the world's better, and I'm looking around and things. So I think one of the things was that there was a realization by the naysayers that the market is probably somewhere I got to have some money, you know, or I have to have more money. And so any kind of downward movement in the market gave people opportunity to bring money into the marketplace. And I think that was bring it down to one thing, the single most important thing of why we're seeing why we didn't have that big correction.
Okay. So in other words, it was priced right. And people said, hey, let's get in.
Yeah, and I think so. And, the fact is that if you look at where they got in, a lot of people, the Dow was up 23% through yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The S&P was up 27%. And so, a lot of the initial money went into the big known dividend-paying stocks because, I'm getting 0%, I can get a 3% dividend or 4% dividend. AT&T still paying a 5% dividend. And so we saw that early migration into those markets. But as the year continued, the real excitement was in the small cap stocks, the NASDAQ, the over-the-counter market stocks, which is up 34%. It went in March of 2000. The NASDAQ hit over 5,000.
Wow.
And then proceeded by 2002 to get into the, I'm going to say, the 1,500 to 2,000 range. This year, it's up over 4,000. So it's made a dramatic move in the last couple of years and generated some tremendous returns. So coupled with Europe and the Asian markets not doing as well. Europe's up about 12, and Asia's up 8. As our market continued to go up, we had a lot of foreign buying coming in to chase the return. So there was a lot of places where we've got a lot of money that was coming in. And then the final part of that equation was, as previously talked about, when in June, when the Federal Reserve went out and said, all right, we're going to taper. If you remember, we had a giant backup in interest rates. The 10-year Treasury went from like 1.6 to almost 3%, did hit 3%. And so all of a sudden, that became a signal that it was time maybe to get out of our bonds. We've had a 30-plus year bull market in bonds. Rates were at record lows. They really, rates aren't going, they can only go to zero. I mean, technically there was a few negative rates in the height of the crisis. But the point is your risk reward, and so now you're getting inflows from the bond market as people are realizing, A, the interest rates are terrible, and B, you can lose valuation.
Okay. Were there any particular industries that benefited from in the small cap NASDAQ area, any particular industries that saw particular exceptional growth this past year?
Yeah, I think that the small emerging technology areas. Okay. I mean, you look at Twitter came public this year and came at 28. It's 58 or something today. Facebook, who initially came a year ago and had gotten down into the high teens, is 54, is going into the S&P 500, LinkedIn. A lot of those social media stocks were extremely strong. And then, some of the things we talked about, especially in one of our shows, and we talked about the resurgence of manufacturing.
Right.
3D printing is off the charts in terms of, 3D. There's a company called 3D, at the low this year in the first quarter, it was 29. It's 85 today.
Wow.
There's two or three others. So those particular things. And then the smaller oil exploration companies who took advantage of aggressively getting into the Bakken and Marcellus and Permian, things that aren't like Exxon and Chevron that we all know about, who really didn't do much this year, but Continental and Whiting and Kodiak and some of those smaller names we didn't know because of fracking and because of oil prices, pretty much, you know, stayed in that 90 to 105 range, which at that level they can make some money. And so those particular not only new type of technologies, but also, you know, new methods such as 3D printing, those really exploded. We got tremendous returns on those type of things.
Okay, we're going to take our one break this segment, and then we'll be back with more. You're listening to Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry.
Buena Vista Investment Management of Wisconsin Rapids understands today's global markets and brings small town values and creative investment solutions to your financial portfolio. With active financial managers and great customer service, Buena Vista Investment Management is here to see that your financial well-being is here for many years to come. Give them a call today at 422-0700. Buena Vista Investment Management, 241 3rd Street South, Wisconsin Rapids.
Marquette basketball plays here.
Cadogan in the front court. Cadogan weaving inside to Jamil Wilson. Wide open layup is good.
There are Gators back in transition. Nobody picked up Wilson right under the basket.
Cadogan around two screens. Gives to Jamil Wilson. He'll try a three. Good. Oh, baby, that was big.
The Marquette Golden Eagles take on New Mexico this Saturday night starting at 7:30 right here on AM 1320 WFHR.
Here's your forecast from the WeatherEye Weather Center.
For this afternoon, we could have a lingering wintry mix of freezing drizzle and snow with cloudy skies and northeast winds. Highs will be in the middle 20s. Tonight, we could have some lingering snow through the evening, otherwise mostly cloudy with northeast winds. Lows will fall into the mid-teens. Mostly cloudy skies on Saturday with northeast winds. Highs in the upper 20s. Accumulating snows developing Saturday night and upper teens. From WeatherEye Weather Center, powered by weatherology.com, I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro.
Light snow and 20 here at AM 1320. Welcome back to the Morning Magazine and the latest edition of Financial Insights from Buena Vista Investment Management with Pete Bry. Again, the number is 715-422-0700 if you want to talk to the folks at Buena Vista. And we're reviewing the year, and you mentioned Europe. Now, that was another thing that was a fear. Well, you know, Europe is in this debt crisis. Things are collapsing. People are rioting in the streets. It's got to affect our economy and our markets some way or other. Did it?
Well, I think it's probably retarded the growth in a lot of those multinational companies that do a lot of exporting to that they're not growing as fast as, you know, 06, 07, that type of thing. So I do think there was some consternation there, and it, from an earnings standpoint, definitely impacted some of those companies and things. And again, the story pretty much the same there as here, in that each year things get a little better. You know, everybody, when things are bad, there seems to be a uniting force to try to implement policies and procedures that will improve the situation, and so, you know, they had some of the same things that we did. You know, they're, each country kind of did a self-examination of how much money they're spending, and they did their equivalent of the Federal Reserve over there, lowered interest rates and allowed the banks that were in trouble to lend borrow as much money from the central bank as possible. So so it's we're seeing kind of the same thing. They're probably a tad behind us, but a lot of the protocol and things that are implemented and kind of kept us from going over the cliff is going on there. So it did retard, but it obviously didn't eliminate the spectacular returns we got in our market. And so now what we're seeing there is that it may be a little early, but the valuations in Europe are much better because their market hasn't risen as quickly, and they're very much behind where we're making all-time record highs. They're still pretty much behind the curve of where they were in 07.
Okay. In terms of the international markets, who were the winners, if there were any?
Well, Yeah, on the developed countries, it was Japan and the United States. And Japan, much like we did, decided to print money and buy up everything and try and generate inflation in their economy after years and years and years. And I believe they're maybe up 40-ish, you know, in general. In the U.S., depending on what you want to be, was up anywhere from 25 to almost 40, depending on what index. So far and away, Japan was one of the greatest. You get into third world countries, emerging, whatever you want to call them. Argentina also had a spectacular year.
Okay. Well, Japan, they actually had that problem with deflation, which some people have been worried about here.
Yeah, well, you know, to put that into perspective, and we might have talked about that one point, in 1989 when the big fear was Japan. They were buying the Rockefeller Center, and they bought Pebble Beach, and they were buying the world. Their stock market was at 39,000, and even with a 40% increase this year, it's about 15,000. So they've been in deflation for almost 25 years.
Okay. Other factors that affected the market this past year?
Well, I think a combination of kind of what we talked about, interest rates staying low.
Mm-hmm.
We certainly got used to, I guess, the discord in the political world, because if you recall the last little episode in the fall, the market started rising and really, unlike in 2011 when the market dropped 20%, you know, there was no effect there. So, and I think that what we're seeing now in the kind of easy budget approval process, and that I think there's hope on the political side. But I do think some of the things we've talked about over the year, the energy and a commitment to bring manufacturing back, I think more effective pricing. I've never wanted to own an airline. Because of so many crazy things, airlines never made money. You know, airlines, they all have been bankrupt one time, three times, but they started getting right. Airlines was one of the best places to be this year. So, you know, and so I just think there was a bunch of things that time, the time and the amount of time that we've been since we really were in crisis mode continues to build confidence, and that's a big thing.
You mentioned the budget deal. The two-year budget deal reached in Washington. They're saying this could add like 0.25% to their growth projections for economists are saying for the coming year. What are we as we move into the new year, what are you seeing? Is this going to continue, or are we going to hit a wall?
Well, you know, that's kind of a broad-based question, and I do think that the underpinnings of our economy look as good as ever. I mean, if you think about not only Europe coming around, which should increase our exporting to that part of the world, but also, you know, oh my God, China's not growing at double-digit rates, all right? I mean, we're going in, but, you know, they're growing at 7% plus. There isn't many countries in the world that wouldn't trade them even up for that kind of growth rate. And the point is, I think China has kind of started to do what they've wanted to do in terms of transforming from a manufacturing, exporting country into a consumer-led country. And it would appear that they've got their footings also. So the point is, between China, between Japan and their good market, they've created wealth. There's things going on in Europe. I would expect that the big exporter, our economy and companies in the United States, will benefit from the exporting internally in the United States the same energy and drilling and fracking is mm-hmm. only going to continue to expand. We've talked about how of the S&P 500, over half of those companies have talked about bringing and expanding manufacturing. I believe that the 0% that, you know, there's over $1 trillion in corporate money markets getting 0%. And I think you're going to see some of that money now be spent to build these new manufacturing plants or buy new equipment. Or so you're going to see capital expenditures, which have kind of been a laggard, mm-hmm. now be a much more... you'll see more of capital expenditures. Great, exactly. More aggressive spending. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Now, given that, what do you think are some of the areas that people should be watching for investment opportunities?
Well, I would say that technology, and I would say industrial, are two of the places I'm really. At Buena Vista, where we're trying to make sure we got good representation, just for the reasons that we just talked about. Exporting mm-hmm. helps all those big companies. Capital expenditures, these guys are building the equipment and or the planes or whatever the category is. And so we see those stocks continuing to have a really good particular run. Beyond that, I think health care is an interesting topic. I think you
wanted to get into that because we got the Affordable Care Act that's
right,
going to be coming
right.
into play.
And I think any kind of things that improve the health care world in care in terms of equipment or testing that lower prices or new effective medicines are going to be good. My only concern about Obamacare is I think consumer-related restaurants, hotels, potentially the car industry, even though there's some cross currents there with so many cars being over 11 years old. But if you look at so many people having to pay more next year for health care, whether it be their premiums, higher deductibles, higher maximum out-of-pocket, that could potentially be a drag on the consumer-related industries mm-hmm. because if I'm going to, I've got only so much money if I'm on a salary.
Right.
And so am I going to pay for my health care or am I going to not do anything in health care and buy a new car? And so, or go on a vacation or go out to eat twice a week or things like that. So I think the consumer-related things, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I'm not necessarily a big fan of those, not a big fan of anything that's interest rate related because I believe interest rates will inevitably have to go up when the Federal Reserve stops buying everything. Last year, they bought 70% of all the U.S. Treasury bonds issued. If they disappear by the end of the year, I'm pretty sure our debt won't disappear by 70%.
No.
Someone's got to come in there and buy, and it's simple supply and demand.
Okay, okay. So there are opportunities, but there's areas to be wary of as we head into the new year.
Yeah, and I think I'd throw in there bonds.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have bonds, I'd keep relatively short on the curve. I would also, one of the things of that helps commodities tend to be inflation.
Right.
And if we continue in this kind of relatively mundane inflation world, you know, so this year may be another year of so-so in commodities. I think on a longer-term basis, with all going on and if all the economy of the world heats up like we think over the next 18 months, 2015 could be a good year for commodities. But, you know, consumer and bonds, especially anything over, 5 years, I don't necessarily see as a great place to be this year for the first year. The Barclays Aggregate, which was a measure of all the bonds in different mm-hmm. categories and different maturities, through yesterday was down 1.36%. And so, I got my good safe bonds. Whoops, I lost almost 1.5% this year.
Okay. Well, with that, I'm going to wish you and everybody at Buena Vista a Merry Christmas and a happy and prosperous New Year's. And let's go Badgers.
Oh, absolutely. The Badgers are off to a great start.